Hello, and welcome to the Steve Barclay Ponders Out Loud podcast. Instructional coaches and leaders create the environment that supports teachers to continually imagine, grow, and achieve. They model an excitement for learning that teachers in turn model for students. This podcast is dedicated to promoting the important aspects of instructional leadership. Thanks for listening. Exploring an engagement matrix. This podcast will examine how we engage students who are non-compliant to reach a level of being compliant. Also, it looks at how we expand and move compliant students to an area of being interested. And then, at times, have students discover the enjoyment of being absorbed. I'm excited to have Heather Lyon joining me today for a conversation about engagement. Heather is the author of Engagement is Not a Unicorn, It's a Narwhal. And she's also the author of a newly released book called Big Book of Engagement. So welcome, Heather.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm excited about it. So, Heather, I'm going to bring up a picture of your book and a picture of a narwhal. And I figured the first thing that folks might like to know is a little bit more about the title of your book.
Yeah. So the title is Engagement is Not a Unicorn, It's a Narwhal. I don't need to explain to anybody what a unicorn is. Two-year-olds know what a unicorn is, even though a unicorn is not a real animal. It's mythical. So there's nowhere on earth you can walk to and go find some unicorns. But narwhals are real animals, even though people may not know what I'm talking about, or they may know what a narwhal is, but they may not know its name or that it is real and swimming around in our oceans as we speak. So a narwhal is looks like a dolphin, and a unicorn had a baby. And so I love that you had the picture here, because that's a narwhal. It's actually a tusk that is growing out of their head. But the concept of the book is that we often think of the word engagement in mythical ways, that it is not real, but something people talk about as though, you know, kids are going to go skipping around the halls at school and, you know, singing Kumbaya and saying, you know, I can't wait to learn today. And at the end of the lesson, they're going to start clapping like for the teacher. Yay, thank you so much. That's engagement as a unicorn. Engagement as a narwhal is the concept that, yes, engagement exists in schools, but like a narwhal, it's not really that common. Some people have never seen one before. They don't really know what they're talking about when they're talking about it. And so it's hard to achieve in practice if you don't understand it in concept. So that's why the subtitle is Mind-Changing Theory and Strategies that Will Create Real Engagement.
Well, I just love the way you laid out the concept of looking through the lens of engagement as non-compliant, compliant, interested, and absorbed, and the way that you were able to place it on a matrix, I thought provided great insight. So I'm wondering if you'd walk people through a little bit of your definition and then the layout of the matrix.
Yes, thank you. So there are four stages of engagement, and two of those stages are really forms of disengagement. And so I created a continuum of engagement. So from left to right, it would be non-compliant, compliant, interested, and absorbed. And that continuum felt really good. But what I wanted to know as an educator is how to shift someone from non-compliance to compliance, how to go from compliant to interested and then interested to absorbed, or why is it that some people regress? Why do we slip from being interested to compliant or compliant to non-compliant? So upon some deep thinking and reflection, I realized that there are variables. So one variable is along the horizontal on the bottom of the of what I call the engagement matrix, which is the relationship to the task. Do you want to do the task that you're asked to do? If the answer is no, then you're going to be compliant or non-compliant. And if the answer is yes, then you're going to be interested or absorbed. So that's the first question. Do you like the task that you have to do? The second question relates to the vertical axis, which is what is your relationship to the external person or consequence? Consequence being a neutral term. It's not positive or negative, but can be positive or negative. So meaning, how do I feel about the person who's asking me to do this work? And then how do I feel about the consequence, positive or negative, for doing the work? So if I'm non-compliant, I don't like the task because I'm on the left side of the matrix, and I don't like the person who's asking me to do it, or the reward or the stick, so the carrot or the stick that I get for doing it. So I'm not doing this for you, Steve, and I don't care how much you pay me or how you threaten me, I'm still not going to do it. That's non-compliance.
I've met
So compliance, on the other hand, starts with, I don't want to do it, just like non-compliant. I don't want to do it. But it's, Steve, I really like you, and so I wouldn't do this for anybody else, but you've asked me to do this, so I'll do it for you, Steve. Doesn't mean I enjoy doing it, but I enjoy my relationship with you, so I'm not going to harm that relationship. Or it might be, I wasn't going to do it for free, but now you're offering me $50. All right, I'll do it now. So that would be that positive consequence or reward or carrot. Or I wasn't going to do this before, but now you're saying that you're going to call my mom or you're going to fire me or, you know, fill in the blank with the negative consequence. So I'll do it now. Doesn't mean I want to, but I'll do it. To get from compliant to interested, really what we're saying is, again, do you like to do it? Yes, I like what I'm doing, but I also need a reward to continue to, or a consequence rather, to continue doing what I'm doing. So in a classroom, that means kids can really enjoy the work. They're doing it and they may even be leaning in, you know, with a group work or something, their butts in the air, when it comes time to present their work or talk about it, they're like, yeah, I'll tell you about what I'm doing. But when the bell rings, what do the kids do? If the bell rings and the kids get up and leave, they were just interested. And I say just interested because there is another place to go. I don't say just interested because interested is not high enough. I think interested is where we should be aiming for 100% of kids in 100% of classes, 100% of the time in schools.
That's our goal.
That's the goal. Absorbed is beyond the goal. I'll talk about that in just a moment. But the reality is that interested for adults tends to be where we are with our work. And I know this because we don't have a bell that rings. But at the end of the day, when it's time to go home, do you want to stay at work and continue working? On the weekends, if you work Monday through Friday, what do you want to do Saturday and Sunday? Most of us want to do some other things. It's not that we don't enjoy our work. It's that we have other things that we don't get paid to do that we would like to do, or things that we need to do, and so we're compliant with those things. So we're either doing the things we're really absorbed in, or we're doing the things that we have to get done. And so interested means you're getting a paycheck for it, likely. Absorbed is that higher bar, and absorbed is not the place that I think that we should aim for 100% of kids and 100% of classes, 100% of the day, because absorbed is reserved for what do we want to do when we don't have to do it. Because our relationship to the task is so high that we don't need an extrinsic person or consequence in order to do it. We are absorbed. Time passes by differently. So absorbed kids in school are kids who you have to tell them the bell rang, you have to go now. You have to tell them, please put that book away, reading time is over. You are not asking them, what are you learning about? They're running up to you and saying, let me tell you about this great thing. And so Dave Schmidu, I'm not sure if you know Dave Schmidu's work or not. He's an author and educator. I was talking with him and he said, I think of absorbed like people who get engaged to be married. People who are engaged and married or to be married can't wait to tell you all about it. Let me tell you about the venue. Let me tell you about the husband. Let me tell you about the ring. Let me tell you about where we're going on our honeymoon. They tell you, you don't need to ask. And that's what absorption, which is the highest level of engagement, looks like. Now, for adults, absorption tends to be the things we pay to do, not the things we get paid to do. So it's the things that, because we don't tend to be as skilled with the things that we're absorbed with as we are with the things we're interested with, because we're spending 40 hours or more per week on the things we're interested with, and our free time is what we allocate to the things that we're absorbed with. So we don't have the same amount of time. The other thing about absorption is because we tend to invest in things that we're absorbed in, when we have to earn money from absorbed tasks, we change that level to, I now need to be compensated for this in order to be successful. And which means I'm probably having to do things now that I didn't have to do when I just loved it. Now I have to mark it. Now I have to.
The pay actually detracts from the absorption.
That's exactly right. Now I have to, like, I love to write. And so, I don't need to ever get paid to write, but in order to sell books, to have other people, you know, read my books, that requires marketing, that requires talking about the book, that requires, you know, lots of things that I didn't have to think of before.
So is it fair? I've always kept in my mind that I'd love kids to discover being absorbed at some point, that
you know, yes,
you shouldn't get out of school without having discovered the value or the fun of being absorbed.
Yes. Thanks for bringing that up, because I should have explicitly said that it's not that I don't expect absorption in school. It's just a higher bar. So it's not going to happen in every classroom every day for every kid, but it is going to happen for every kid in school. That should be the expectation.
At some point, we find it.
At some point.
I placed a link to Heather's Matrix in the lead-in to this podcast. Student engagement is certainly one of the complex components of teaching. It's a continuous trial and error balancing act. Considering our relationships with students, considering real and perceived consequences of student engagement, and students' personal interest and satisfactions. Here's wishing you many absorbed moments while teaching. Thanks for listening. Thank you for listening. You can subscribe to Steve Barkley Ponders Out Loud on iTunes and Podbean. And please remember to rate and review us on iTunes. I also want to hear what you're pondering. You can find me on Twitter at Steve Barkley, or send me your questions and find my videos and blogs at barkleypd.com.